Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 360. I pressed A like I've never pressed A before. Home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Game Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sissa.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we have with us a very special guest joining us on the show, Mayor Young. What's up?
What's going on, good people? Glad to be back. Hello.
Hello. It's been so long. We're so glad you're with us. We kept chair in the same place it was the last time you came.
We did.
Yay, chairs.
I even vacuumed it this time, so it wouldn't be.
And I doused it with Febreze, so it would smell pine fresh.
That's how much we love you.
You vacuumed the chair? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take.
Well, you know, because sometimes sometimes
a layer of dust will settle.
And then you get in a chair, it's all
pet
musty.
Dander. It's a
smells
mess.
Like someone's grandpa, and you're just like,
pet dander.
He's like,
I love it.
No, I don't think that's the chair. But we've got a bunch of random stuff to talk about today.
It's not very random.
Well, no, I mean, we kind of sort of planned it in a sort of, hey, why don't we do this?
Hey, this is coming in. We're going to talk about it. Do your fucking homework, Panda. It's kind of what I heard.
Yeah, so that's pretty, well, you
it
know.
It sounds very structured to me.
When a person goes 2 weeks without doing their homework and just kind of shows up.
But see, I'm that level of scrap in the movie who you think is going to fuck up and at the very end doesn't and wins the game and goes to homecoming with the hot chick.
No, you are mostly the person in the movie who fucks up the entire movie and you hope at the end isn't going to fuck up, but as it turns out, does. But it's okay
because she's
they
redeemable.
Try so hard.
Because she's redeemable.
No.
Yes.
But they try so hard.
There's so much effort.
That you just love them because they try so damn hard. Even though they just don't.
If I didn't know any better, I would think you didn't like me very much.
I love you to pieces, but
damn, bro.
That's what I'm trying to say. So it's really nice that Panda did her homework this week.
Thumbs up for me.
All right. You get a gold star.
Yay!
It's the first one for November.
Started November, so I'm on a great roll right now.
All right, it's yours to lose.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Don't feel the pressure.
Right. You just dropped the realness on me.
Wham.
I don't like that.
Wham.
No, like, no me gusta.
Wham.
Anyway.
Better gusta. So, we got game stuff to talk about. No anime stuff this week. Anime stuff next week because there's a ridiculous amount of anime.
Maybe you'll give me some more anime series that I'll like because right now I keep torturing myself with Diabolic Lovers and even Ashmo was like,
why you even watch that?
She's like, that one keeps calling her a bitch all the time. I'm like, I know, but at least now, Mom, I know what a bad relationship looks like. He just calls her bitch all the time.
Yeah, there's no reason on the planet for anyone to watch Diabolic Lovers.
No.
The manga was okay, you know, because it's a light, you know, novel type thing. So
I hate when they try to make a light novel harem anime.
And this one, it doesn't work. You think it would because, hey, there's vampires, and bitches love vampires, right?
I know.
But
even Hot Mess is like, this is some stupid shit.
It is. It's really, it's quite stupid.
He's like, you're watching anime porn with your mother.
Well, and
like,
it's
I'm
not
because they don't get naked.
Exactly. It's not even the porn stuff because they pull all of that out. It's
oh,
in
there's
the manga.
Porn stuff in it?
Yeah. It's in the manga, but they pull all of it out, you know, because they passed the law.
Of course.
In Japan. So that's why they're only 14 minutes. Because there's big sections of possible of the show raising. Yeah, basically. Because
it does kind of come off
a
little
bit
like rapey.
Yeah, no, it is. It yeah. So that's not in there, which is why.
Oh, no wonder why it doesn't
make
any GD
sense. No
sense,
yeah. So it's really not worthwhile, and I don't exactly know why. All right,
then I'm done now.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Because I'm like trying to piece it. I'm like, oh,
no,
it might be an intricate quilt.
No.
And I'm like,
no.
I don't get how they
no.
all.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, you can skip that. But there are a bunch of really great series that have popped up all over the place. Both on there's a series that I'm really enjoying right now called Date Alive, and it's very cutesy. So I guess we are going to talk about anime, but just really quickly.
Really quickly, because we've got awesome stuff to talk about. And awesome is totally not a word.
I know, and it's in your lexicon, and that's okay.
It's in my personal dictionary where I make new words every day.
It's in the Panda Webster's edition.
It's a St. James edition.
There you go. So Date Alive I really like because it has a combination of a bunch of things. It has magic in it. It has mechas in it in that there are power suits and pieces that girls get equipped with that allow them to fly and fight in air.
Oh, yeah.
There's
that series you were telling
there's
me
a slight
about.
Harem bend to it because in order to try and basically tame the angels, as they're called.
Of course they are.
The lead main male character basically has to run through it like a date sim and get the girls to like him, and he's able to seal their destructive powers with a kiss if they do. So it's all of the cutesy little things out of a bunch of different anime that I like.
Like God, the world only God knows.
Exactly.
Plus Strike Witches.
Plus a little bit of Strike Witches, plus a little bit of Lime Barrels of Iron.
Which I've never watched.
Lime Barrels is good. If you haven't watched it and you like mecha, you should.
Okay.
It very much reminds me of a... almost hearkening all the way back to Akira in its serious tone and fighting and futuristic
they
battles.
Decided to leave Akira the F alone.
Yes, me too. But yeah, so Date Alive I'm really enjoying right now, and you can actually watch that on Anime Network, and you can catch it, if you don't mind the commercials, on Hulu Plus. So you can watch
cool.
that. Right
what about
now.
Hulu Minus?
Hulu Minus you can, but there's only like 2 episodes.
Oh, lame.
Yeah.
Serious detraction, Hulu Minus.
The whole series, the whole season is available to you if you have Plus.
Okay.
So, it's 12 episodes. I'm about 6 episodes in right now.
Oh,
but
so
you're
about to hit the, like, rising action of
yeah,
the series.
Yeah, so that's one that I like. And then, you know, because I like the odd ones that, you know, are borderline,
Blurred Lines?
No. I was going to say hentai.
Blurred Line.
I guess it is a blurred line. Another series that I've been watching is called Freezing.
Is it about cold things?
Well, no, not really.
Is it freezing of time?
No, not really.
Is it in space?
Yeah, not really.
It's a cat.
Well, not really. No, with freezing, basically what you have is another... I don't want to put it on the same line as Date Alive, but there are girls who are able to manifest a power. And the power for each of them turns into different weapons based off of their personality.
Like a hand weapon?
Yes.
Like gun,
for some,
knife,
a gun. Right, so there's a swordsmith, there's a gunsmith, and then there's...
Isn't there another series that you told me that, like, and they all had to be girls, and this one dude happens to turn to a girl and can fight...
That's Comfort.
Okay.
And that
is it kind of like that?
Well, yes. And then Comfort. But really, the big thing is it seems like it's just stupid, over the top fighting that's an excuse to get people topless, kind of like at Ikitosin.
Oh, God.
So there's a lot of fighting between the girls. And
does one of them like when she pees?
No.
Okay, good. Then it's better than Ikitosin
it
by,
is
like,
better,
5 points.
That is true.
Wonderful.
But in every single battle, usually the first weak point that's hit is...
The boobies?
Yeah. So whatever outfit you have on around your boobs gets destroyed.
Sure, trip off.
Yeah. But you have a gun master, you have a sword master, and then you have a hand-to-hand combat master.
What about
so
a debate master?
The types. No, not really. And so they're all at this school, and they're basically fighting Nova. And Nova, no one is really sure what they are, but they are giant female mechas, almost looking like a giant nun that is just pure destruction. And so there are only... Yeah, seriously. So
they're
like
giant
mecha
battle nuns?
Basically, it's what it looks like. It's a Solemn Maria-type face... Huge ass mega, like the size
I'm
of an Ava.
I'm getting a big Spaceballs vibe here.
Seriously.
Now, like the Death Maid.
Okay, and so you have these women, and there are only women that are able to manifest this power.
Of course.
And they try to take out these Novas that just appear everywhere, because Novas, they don't seem to have any kind of communication ability whatsoever.
So they're not singing hymns while
looking on the land. No, there's this, like, otherworldly kind of, like, note that happens behind them. No. And they just roam and laser beam and destroy until they're taken out by...
No, I know nuns are a bad problem, especially in the United States.
Sure.
Down with nuns.
No, the nuns are fine. It's the priest you gotta fucking worry about. So anyway...
You know?
So anyway...
I think secretly there are nuns who are doing very naughty things. Mother Superior, I doubt it.
Don't cast aspersions. Nuns have rulers.
You know what they really do with those rulers?
Hey, you don't want to know.
At night?
Hush your mouth.
By them.
You didn't go to a Catholic school, so hush. I did. Anyway, each of the girls has... each of the girls has a male counterpart who's their limiter.
Uh-huh.
And in order for them to kind of reach the pinnacle of their power, they have to perform a baptismal with their limiter.
I'm giving you the weirdest face right now.
Yeah, you need to watch it, seriously. So what ends up happening is that there's one girl from a family who probably has the most ridiculous-sized boobs I've ever seen.
Like,
she's
as big
like
as the weaponsmith from Queensblade big?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, like a little bit smaller than that, but not by much.
I mean, that woman kept stepping on her boobs.
This is what I'm saying. They're huge. She's got to be, like, at least, I would
a
say...
A Z-cup.
No, not a Z, but she's like at least a triple N. Like,
no, that's a lot of boobs.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, she's got a lot of the titas, if you will. And but
wait,
she's
does
like,
she wear a bra? Because how could
yeah,
she?
They do. And they're all in, like, uniforms because it's a private school that they go to train.
I would hate
and,
to see her uniform bill.
It's astonishing. And anyway, so... her backstory, and the reason why it's not just, like, dumb, like, okay, so, yeah, here's an excuse to see your boobs, and here's an excuse to see you fall, and, ooh, I see your underwear.
Ha ha, upskirt time!
The backstory for the main character is that she specifically doesn't want to have anything to do with men at all, and doesn't want to
so
have a letter.
Oh, so she's not even made it.
No. As you get into the backstory, you find out that she was adopted into her family, and... the family is very well off, and the parents weren't very involved, and there were two other siblings, an older sister and an older brother. The brother basically tortured and molested her, and no one came to her defense until she finally manifested
well,
his power.
Well, because, you know, men can't do anything wrong.
And left the house. So that's, like, her big reason for...
her being there was just enough. You know, of a reason.
No, it was horrible, the stuff that he did. It was,
oh,
like,
I know.
Really bad.
I'm being
okay,
sarcastic.
You're a really... At 8 years old, I didn't even think to, like, even be that way. And yet, he's, like, torturing her, and she, like, tries to tell the older sister one time, and she doesn't believe, and so she gets locked up, and a maid beats her, and so she's like, okay.
Wow, they let the maid beat her?
Yeah. Because she was adopted, so evidently she had no work.
She was lower
so
than,
like,
the maids?
Like, all of a sudden, like, it takes this wicked, wicked, weird turn. Three episodes in, and you're like, whoa, this was not what I thought it was going to be. So it's into season 2 right now, and the second season you can watch on Funimation. The first season is on Hulu Plus. I think you can find it a couple other places as well. But outside of, like, the blatant, ooh, it's my boobs, I actually really enjoy it.
Okay.
The fight's interesting, and getting to the background of why so many girls are dedicated to put themselves through training to try and save the world. I mean, who doesn't want to save the world?
I don't.
Well, that's because you're a dick.
No, I'm lazy.
That too. Most people, if given the power and the ability...
If I had the power and the ability, I still wouldn't do it.
And that's why you're not Superman.
Yep.
Because...
no one would ever know I was Superman because... I wouldn't use my powers like
yeah, you
all
would.
The time.
You would use your powers for, like, do shit.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh my god, I'm running late! And you fly to work.
I would not. No, I wouldn't fly because I'm scared of heights. I would hover.
Don't feel bad, Panda. Even Superman's not Superman anymore, so it's okay.
Oh, anyway, that was a great segue into what we were initially going to first talk about.
Alright, so I'll shut up.
So Batman Arkham Origins just came out.
Arkham Origins!
I believe on Tuesday?
No, Arkham was weird. It came out last Friday. Remember, because we were like, who the hell and why the hell would you release a game on Friday? Everybody knows games come out on Tuesday, and I was like, actually, no, that's brilliant. You bring the game out on Friday night so everybody can play
it all the weekend long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is quite smart. So
it's actually brilliant.
So it released fairly recently.
Yeah.
We got our greedy little hands on it.
Finally.
And Ninja played Arkham Asylum and City.
Yep.
Tried to expose me to both of those, and I was like, this is totally more
seriously,
you than me.
Seriously, I begged you to
play
City.
She did.
I brought my copy up after I finished it. Literally the moment I finished it.
And she's like, you should play it, you're gonna like it. And I was like, alright. And I put it in, and I maybe played the first, like, 20 minutes of, I think it was Asylum. Was it?
No, it was City. I brought City up.
Oh, okay. So she brings City up, and I maybe play
like,
the first.
If at nothing else, you need to play the Catwoman arc.
So, no, the one I remember was Batman. I was walking through the thing.
I know, because I was trying to make you play Catwoman, but you're like, no, I'm just going to play Batman.
Yeah. So, and I played it, and it was pretty, artistically pretty. Made me feel very Batman-y. Gotham looked Gotham-y. It was fine. The system was okay. I can't counter for the life of me. I was getting beat up all the time. I didn't understand why there were bats everywhere. And I was like, okay, I can see why people would like it, but I don't think I'm going to get into it, and I kind of let it alone. So when Arkham Origins showed up, you know, Ninja was like, no, we're playing this together right now. And I had the best time.
Surprise! I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
So, and I was having a field day, because as I'm playing it, you know, like I'm button mashing, I'm countering better than I did in City.
Yep.
And I'm like, ooh, I'm like, Black Mask is apparently our villain, and he's fucking shit up. And, oh, there's Killer Croc. He's being a brute. I'm going to have to beat him up. Oh, crap, I have to beat him up now. Wasn't ready for that. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then I did it. And then they talk about these assassins. Because apparently the premise of the story is Black Mask has decided on Christmas Eve that he really wants the Bat dead.
Yep.
Like, really too much to the point that he has put this bounty on his head for one night. Of, like, $50 million?
Mm-hmm.
Billion? Jajillion dollars?
A dunk amount.
And there are these 8 assassins who he is exclusively extending the bounty to. So we've got Deathstroke.
Yep.
We've got
Copperhead.
Yep, Copperhead. Who I'm the most interested in, like, to learn about. Shiva. Is the Chinese martial artist, death assassin with the best skill ever. There's a
also known as Batgirl's mom. It's not a cane. That's what's up.
Get out! No.
I told you.
No.
I told you to fucking read the comics.
Are you effing serious?
I gave you the whole fucking box.
I am dying right now.
The fucking box. And I was like, you need to read the comics. And you need to... I gave you the whole fucking series.
The extension I just gave
okay,
it.
So let's back up. Everyone knows, because I never shut up about it, almost every year I go on and on about how much I love the Cassandra Cain Batgirl.
Yep.
Okay. Cassandra Cain, awesome. Father Cain, master assassin, went looking for the perfect birth mother. You don't find out, yeah, spoiler alert for anybody who didn't read it, till the absolute end of the arc who her mother is. Because she spends the entire basic comic first trying to learn how to communicate because she's never taught how to talk. Cain only taught her how to be an assassin. And it's only through meeting a metahuman who unlocks communication for her, and that's what completely fucks her Christmas. She goes through the whole thing because she's like the perfect assassin. She's never taught. She's learned body movement as her only ways of communicating, and her ways of communicating is ending your movement.
Right. Hey, you stop moving, I've done my job.
She meets this metahuman who is like the sweetest little like guy, and he's like, oh my gosh, you can't talk, hold on, something's wrong with you, and like he puts his hand on her and he's like, oh, I see, you've got a mental block, here, let me fix it. And there's literally 3 panels where he changes body movements into letters, and that's how she learns to freaking speak, because up until then, and she's like 18 I think at the time, she's never learned a word. And that's when she like goes stupid, because now she doesn't know how to fight, because what she used to interpret isn't there anymore. So she spends the entire rest of the arc trying to become a human being and not just this assassinating thing. She gets to a point where she's like, holy shit, well, I need to know and figure out where I came from.
I need to find out who my mommy and daddy are.
Because you know, obviously Kane is an asshole and raised me to be like this assassin thing, and I don't want to do that, but I was born, which means I had a mom, so who's my mom? So she spends the back half of the freaking comic with Oracle trying to figure out who her mom is.
So that point where I'm sitting there in Arkham Origins and I'm looking at all the characters, when you saw her, you're like,
exactly. Like, I literally had the moment, I was like, yeah, you don't know how awesome it is that she's in there, and you don't know how awesome she is.
We do that to you a lot, Panda.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at
a lot. So, yeah.
We quietly about what you don't know.
It's like, oh my god, she really doesn't know how awesome
Panda doesn't
really
know, so don't tell Panda.
Panda doesn't know.
Here's the messed up part of that whole conversation. One, I appreciate the fact that Ninja like totally went into the entire backstory of Cassandra Cain. I was gonna say something, and then I was like, actually, I don't have to, because Ninja
just
has
did it.
She knows exactly what she's talking about. So that by itself is awesome. Here's the downside: that character doesn't exist anymore.
I know. Did you get destroyed in the New 52?
Cassandra Cain is completely absent from the New 52 as of right now.
From New 52.
Oh my god.
You don't even know how sad I was about that. I was like, of all the fucking people that you could throw back into New 52, there's no one more perfect,
no one more deserving than Cassandra Cain
to go back into New 52, because she was already edgy.
Right. She fits the tone better than almost any other character
that they decided
there
to bring back. And they're like, no, actually, we're not going to go with Cassandra Cain. I'm like, fuck all of you.
Wow.
I had my money ready.
Yeah, she literally did.
Don't tell the rest of the comic book community, but as far as I'm concerned, they could have left out one of those Robins if they wanted to in exchange for a Cassandra Cain.
Which particular Robin are you talking about?
Oh, no, I'm not going to even know. I'm not stupid.
He knows better than like, to say no. He's like, no, because if I say it,
he's
gonna be like,
rawr. Like every Robin has its fan base. Like every Robin has its constituency. It doesn't matter which one you say you don't like.
Derpy Robin with the squinty face. Wait, they all have squinty faces.
Yeah, everybody loves the Robin. So, but yeah, it's sad. Even though I will say, if I'm not mistaken, I think Grant Morrison did say that at some point Cassandra Cain would come into the New 52, but as of right now, I don't think Grant Morrison is really, I don't think he's doing stuff with DC anymore. So with his outing, that might be the last vestige of hope you have for Cassandra Cain anytime soon. I mean, I'm sure she'll come up again, but
I mean, I'm sure that she'll get a mention. My thing is, I feel like Cassandra Cain deserves so much more than a mention. Of all the Batgirls and all the people that were Batgirl or became Batgirl, I felt like hers was like the best redemption line and made the most sense as to why she took up the mantle.
Yeah. But you know, there's hope, because I think, as far as I know, the Kane family, like the family line, still exists.
It can materialize within the 52.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly,
they didn't just say, no more Master Assassin, no more Shiva. There's no plot line that will lead you to Cassandra Cain.
They just need to bring Cassandra Cain back into the New 52. That's all I'm saying. Because she deserves it. And really, you should read the box of comics. Like, the Cassandra Cain line is the only comics that
I've literally
seen.
It was a giant long box, and she's like, have at it. And I'm like, I'm gonna read these.
Okay, and I don't take my comics out of, like, the dark for anyone. And I was like, Panda, I'm going to change your life right now. You need to read these. I brought them up. I put them literally next to you,
all the love
next to the love seat. I was like, just read these.
I was so worried.
One all the way through. I think I have them
in order.
Oh, of course they're in order. But I have the entire line plus the additional graphic novel that like ended the shit, like the fight with Kane.
Okay.
I had the whole thing laid out for you like a smorgasbord.
She did. It was like in a cornucopia.
2 months later, I'm like, you haven't even moved the box. And she's like, yeah, I don't believe
it. I was like, I'm kind of an asshole. But anyway.
Only?
No, I'm an asshole. It's not kind of.
I'm just playing. No, you're not. No.
But as they were going through the assassins, because they go through several of them, like one's a master marksman who can pretty much hit anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they brought up Copperhead, I was like, and like, it kind of looked like the way that the sprite looks like, or the character model looks like, kind of reminds me of a weird, like, acrobatic Harley Quinn. What they were showing. And of course, the young Batman, who's not voiced by the guy who originally did Batman in the Arkham, Asylum and City, but that's okay, because this guy kind of, it's pretty decent. I will give him
it's not Christian Bale, but it's a good Batman.
No, the guy who was playing the Batman.
No, I'm saying he's not Christian Bale Batman bad.
Thank God. But, when they brought up Copperhead, and now you see him, he looks like, a reject from the Barnum and Bailey Circus. In a dark subversion of the Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Mm.
And Batman's like, it's weird, because I'm looking at this, like, video, and it's like, it says it's a dude, but kind of looks like a chick, and totally kind of has boobs. And I'm like, we now have, like, a transgen? Like, what? And I was so curious, and I went on the internet, and I did my little tippity-tappity-tappity.
Yeah, so basically what Panda is saying is that she wasn't really paying attention to the game, and she wasn't really interested in doing homework until it turns out that there may be a transgender.
I was just curious about what the whole
character
stick-up was. So,
and then she was like, oh my god, I'm so into this.
I wanted to figure it out. So, I mean, I did my little research, and it's good. It doesn't mention in any of the little Wikia forums I went to. They did something that, he did get a revamp in the New 52.
Yeah.
But they're still talking about him being, like, a snakeskin suit. And I'm like, this dude is obviously not in a snake suit. Like, he's not. And it doesn't explain the boobs. So I want to know why all of a sudden it's such a big deal.
I mean, I didn't see the boobs, so
there were boobs there.
Right.
And he's a contortionist, so maybe he could, like, move muscles into, like, the boob pockets.
Maybe,
when
I don't
contorting
know.
Contorting or whatever.
We'll have to play it deep to get into there. But
needless to say, apparently we're gonna run to the Joker. Because the Joker is always somewhere in the mix of what's going on in Gotham. Like, it just happens.
Always.
And apparently it is Troy Baker who is voicing the Joker this
time. Yay! Troy Baker, I love Troy Baker.
So, it's not Mark Hamill, but, that's okay. He kind of retired from the Joker.
He retired.
He's like, I'm done.
Mark Hamill literally came out and said, this is the last time I'm going to be the Joker ever.
I think the role's getting too close to him, and he felt himself slipping.
No, I feel like he was tired of always being the Joker.
And not being Luke.
No, I'm sure he was really happy with not being Luke. But Mark Hamill is not just a voice actor. There are other things that he wanted to do, but there was just a shit ton of Batman animated.
He got typecasted.
And there's just a shit ton of things that all of a sudden the Joker was involved in. And he was a great Joker as far as the voice goes. So, like, part of me misses his voice because I do feel like he was able to go to some place that was just a little bit more off.
Okay.
With the Joker. His Joker always seemed a little more psychotic than other Jokers.
Alright.
As far as voice acting goes. Like, the guy who did the voice acting for the Joker in,
don't say Batman Beyond.
No, I was gonna say Gods Among Us.
Okay.
It was good,
but
he didn't scare me. Mark Hamill's Joker always scared me a little bit because you believe that he was psychotic enough to really fucking kill you and do some really.
No, see, that's really funny because when I go back into my experiences with the Joker, like in the animated series, which really kind of established Joker in that medium for me anyway, because I didn't read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I did peruse the Killing, The Killing Game or the Killing?
The Killing Joke.
Yeah. So I perused that one a little bit when that became, like, the big thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I follow trends like a beast.
Mm.
But I never got really scared with the Joker. So
yeah, I always believed it would be, like even off. Even when they did the Batman Beyond Revenge of the Joker animated movie.
Yeah.
And they took Joker to, like, that dark place where he fucked up Tim Drake.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that he was nuts enough to do it.
There. Yes. There. I'll say that, yeah.
And that's all in Hamill's voice. So I kind of miss that characteristic.
I haven't encountered him in the game yet. So
yeah.
I don't know what to expect. But I know Troy Baker. I know where his strengths are when it comes to you know, when they put him in a villain role or when they put him in a challenging role. So I'm curious to hear what his interpretation of the Joker is going to be in this prequel yet successor to the Arkham.
Yeah, don't let that mess with your brain.
That took me a second to like, it's the past, but it's the successor. It's kind of like that trailer I saw.
It's the present past of the thing.
Of the days. But what do you think, Lawrence? You're our resident comic guy.
Look, here's the sad part. I love video games. I truly love comics. It's like anytime the two combine, I'm usually a happy camper. I have not played a single second of Arkham Origins.
Okay.
And here's why. It's because I want to finish the other games before I play this one, even though I do know chronologically it comes first.
Okay.
But it's just sad to say, I don't know what's going on with Arkham. Like, I only play it in spurts.
Yeah, so you're only getting little tidbits here and there, still?
Well, yeah, still. Like usually when the next iteration of a game comes out, I usually get really motivated. Or when I find out it's coming out, I usually get really motivated to play the past one. You know, I mean, half the time I've finished it. But sometimes I don't. And it's like, oh, well, let me just go ahead and get to it. But, you know what I think it is that the Arkham games, for me, are really dense. And I think that's what all it really turns out to be. Like, in the sense that, I love RPGs, right?
Yeah, right.
So, I'm a kind of a completionist kind of guy.
I know that feeling. I know those feels.
Right, And it's like, I like to go into the nooks and cranny of a game and find out little bits of information and like read read little scrolls that tell you backstory of the game that you really don't necessarily need to finish it, but it adds to the overall depth of the game. And so what happens for me with the Arkham games what's basically been happening is I'll go in there and there's a lot of stuff that you can like kind of find out and you can look at, the digital statues of the different characters, and you can find out all of their, like, the backstory they created for that game, and you can find, like, the Riddler riddles, and you can find friggin', like, there's all types of stuff to find.
That just distracts you from the main story. I find myself sidetracking all the time for the collectibles.
You're right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I will go and try to get Riddler statues and find all the question marks and all this. Like, and I was just like, so it stops me from getting through the game. Like, and that's my problem. Like, I'm a shit. Like, I feel like I'm going through the confessional now because, like, here's how bad it is. Not only have I not played Origins, I haven't played a second of City because I'm playing Asylum. And so, I'm sorry, gaming community, comic book community. It's like, because they are the best. Like, the Arkham trilogy, without even having to play the second and this latest one, is probably some of the best comic book video gaming that you get, period.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because I've played some of the Spider-Man games, the new ones coming from Activision, and they've done a really good job, especially with just like the fastness of the last one. But as far as a
overall cohesion,
not even cohesion, just fucking enjoyable game from beginning to end, the Arkham trilogy is it's enjoyable from beginning to end.
Yeah. And what it does is it hits on every cylinder in regards to like a lot of comic book games missed the mark in one area or another, even the good ones, just because it's tough. I mean, you're talking about translating something from from a static medium to a totally interactive motion medium. That by itself can be staggering alone. But the thing is, it's just like, even though they're both visual mediums, they just work in such different ways that sometimes you lose something. And it's like, just because you have a good comic book character doesn't mean that character might translate to a good video game.
Right. And now that when you say that, I think Deadpool.
Which
they nailed the character and his backstory through and through, but the gameplay was just so monotonously horrible.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where, Deadpool's a great example because the production value was there, and I think a lot of people appreciated that aspect of it, but the gameplay doesn't necessarily...
Something definitely suffered for it.
Right. It doesn't lend itself to a great game, and that's what makes Arkham amazing, is because Arkham not only has that great gameplay, but it also goes 100% with the character that is Batman. And it's like it totally typifies all of the aspects of Batman that we find interesting. Like even the thing that Arkham put in that it probably could have left out and still been a great game for most people, the detective aspect, like Batman like actually figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
It's like, so many, there are comic book writers that don't put that aspect of Batman into the comics, let alone you didn't expect the video game guys to be like, okay, well, no, it's Batman. He's a detective.
Right.
You know? So it's just like one of those things where it's like you get every aspect of the character. They got a fantastic storyline. All the cast members are great. The gameplay, like I said, is there. It's just, it does it on every cylinder. So I feel really bad that I haven't gotten through them all yet. But I will. It's like, I have Asylum here, and I have City here. So even though I haven't played it at all. So it's just a matter of like, and I will get Origins and set it next to them and watch them lovingly.
It's like you guys are all here, and I'm happy for that.
Well, I mean, and it's true. You know, there are people that even complained about the game because they could blow through it in 8 hours. And I'm like, if you're getting through this game in 8 hours, then that means that you're not hunting
down.
Then
you're really just, you're coring.
You're critical pathing it. You're not doing any of the other stuff around it. And
if you are doing all that under 8 hours, then you're just a gaming genius, then you should just
probably ought to work for one of those guys. But, you know, for me, I do a little bit of both. For most games, I will probably only critical path when I know that I'm, like, within the last 20% of the game, just so I can get to the ending, because more than times than not, I'm trying to crunch the data down before we do a podcast or to do a feature on the website. But I will spend as much time as I possibly can doing the side quests and stuff, especially in the comic book to video games, as well as in the video games that are just characters that I really enjoy. I will try to eat up as much of the side questing stuff as I can because it's enjoyable to do that. And it's one of the things that I love about the Arkham series is that it's just enjoyable to do that. There were people who were pissed that Catwoman was as big a piece of City as she was, which was only an optional piece, by the way, if you wanted it. And I'm like, first of all, it makes perfect sense that you should have a Catwoman mission. Like, if you're down with Batman at all, you know that there's a whole arc where Selina Kyle gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a child that comes out of that.
Huntress, right?
Correct. From Birth of Prey. Correct. So it makes sense that in a good Batman game, there should be, ever so small, a Catwoman arc to it. And I thought that Catwoman's piece absolutely made sense. You know, they didn't try to make her a hero.
Or Anne Hathaway.
Thank you. And I like that. I like that a lot. And so I just thought that the whole Arkham series was very well thought out. And I loved that I could take the time to go and do the side stuff if I wanted to. I could critical path it if I wanted to. But I really did feel like I was sleuthing things out.
Well, especially because you're talking, like, half the time when you're back and you're talking to yourself as you're figuring stuff out. Which at first I'm like, that's totally something I would do. It's like, there's brains on that wall. I should check that out. No, really?
That
is a thing that you would do.
Never take my microscope out.
That would be a telescope, the motion that you just did.
I know, but you know what
that's
I mean.
That's why we're not a video podcast. So
magnifying glass for clues!
Okay, Dora. But I have to say that I think I probably played for, what, like 45 45 minutes?
Yeah, we both took like 45 minute stints
to jump in and get
wet, so to speak.
Yes. Because I used to play
to cut our chops.
Thank you.
Hone our skills.
There you go.
To montage.
All right. Enough. We got it.
Okay,
great. Because I have Arkham and City, and I played both Arkham and City to the completion.
I didn't.
And
we don't.
I was... Yeah, we do. And I was really looking forward to Origin, and I have to say, as soon as I jumped in, I didn't feel lost. I felt right at home. Right? It almost felt like it picked up where I left off in the last game for me.
Even though it's the... Yeah.
Yeah, even though it's beforehand, like, you know... I knew exactly how to navigate the city because I figured that it didn't change, and it doesn't. So
no,
I'm just
like, I was like, Ninja, how do I do this?
Bat grappling all over the place.
Like, you need some explosive gel. Where do I put that? Over there.
You put the gel down over there, and she's like, where? I'm like, oh, use your bat sense. It'll tell you. It goes on the floor. But trust me, it goes on the floor. And she's like, oh, it does. I'm like, yeah. Trust me. Just put it on the floor, blow that shit up. You're gonna be good. Anytime you see holy anything. Put gel on it.
And blow it
blow
up.
That shit up.
From all the reviews that I went and read, because I didn't want to just go to IGN or whatever.
I jumped to several different of the big wigs,
and then even some indies, you know, just to see what the general consensus is. Or was,
and
or might not
tricking,
be.
Which is awesome.
Well, I just trip over my mouth all the time. We know
all
this.
The damn
it's
time.
Part of my fucking charm.
Sure.
But it seems like a lot of people, though, I mean, I think it got marked favorably, so it wasn't like a don't get this game, but a lot of people were like, we're getting an expansion from City, which, you know, technically should have just been the prequel, but whatever, I'm not going to go into the timeline. But a lot of people were just a little disappointed that, yeah, we got the same universe, same mechanics, so you could just jump in if you played it before.
But it works!
And it does! And a lot of people are just like, I would have thought that they would have put more in or improved on something.
No, you don't. If it ain't broke, you don't fuck it.
What?
You don't fuck it if it ain't broke. If it's broke, you say fuck it. You chuck the table. You start over from scratch.
Well, I thought if it's broke, you don't. Yeah. When it's broke, you don't fuck it because then you're.
No, if it ain't broke, don't fuck it.
I thought it was fix it.
That too. But don't flip the table. If it works, you don't be like, fuck this shit, flip the table and start over from scratch. It's working, leave it alone.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that generally, even between the big wigs and
you
guys,
know, those people,
they were just like, they could have put something new in there.
You know what? They did. It's called the pass. did you see Killer Croc?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to say that the Killer Croc that they put in this game is fucking scary.
I know. Oh, man, when I was fighting him, and he was, like, about to chop on me, and I'm sitting there pressing A like I've never pressed A before. I'm like, why is he still coming at me?
Is it different than the one from Arkham Asylum?
He's more detailed, and so his mouth actually seems to me to be...
It kind of, like, dehinges and gets really wide,
so
like he's about to, like, bite your head off.
It's much
like
more crocodile-ish and much more intimidating the way that they've done
it. It was scary.
In this game, so there's a fight that you have with Killer Croc very, very early on in the game, so we're not giving anything away.
Nope.
Probably in the demo. And after a couple of cycles of you taking it to him, he pounces on you and basically starts going at your face.
Like, I think it was like near your face to your throat. Like, he was just ready to munch on
your head
like Sunday dinner.
And so it starts a quick time event where you basically have to button mash.
A.
And typically, what you're used to as a gamer is if you're button mashing correctly, your visual cue that you're doing it right is that
you're managing to get away from him. In this case, you're pressing A and he's still kind of advancing at you and his mouth is getting wider
and closer to your face. You're like, no, I'm not losing this! I'm not losing this!
Every time it happened for me, I would start kind of screaming because I'm like, And even Eshmal's like, can you stop screaming now? I'm like, I'm in danger! I don't like this! But,
but
it doesn't
really
show you, it doesn't give that security that you're doing it right unless you happen to, you know, do it right. Which I'm like, okay, I understand why you're doing that game, but, you know, I don't like it. Me no like. Hard pass.
Hard pass.
But needless to say, I know the few times that I did play Asylum and City a little bit, I found myself wanting to just stay in detective mode because I feel like if you don't, if you're not in it all the time, you're not going to be thinking to put it on all the time. And as I was playing, I heard myself go, and now Bat Vision, and I, you know, just to get me in the mood to switch on, because you never know, there might be something you want to analyze with your technologies and shit. But from my experience so far, and I'm still very shallow into my gameplay, I'm not even 2 hours in as of right now, it does make me want to go back, because I feel... It's weird, because I want to go back into the future, because it's already been established, because this is the prequel. And if you haven't noticed, I'm having a problem digesting the fact that games now like to give you the present and the future, and then go, you know what, but we want to show you before they were super awesome.
Right.
Like, it fucks up my Christmas and my logic pattern, which we already know is not necessarily the most stable of patterns.
Right.
And it discombobulates me more than I'm already discombobulated. So by theory, it should make me level and straight, but it doesn't.
Okay, well, you know, here's my thing.
Yeah, what is your thing?
My thing is this. Is the game good?
Yeah.
Is the story good?
So far.
You having a good time?
Yeah.
Then it's good! All the way around. I think that, like, seriously, we get way, way, way too, like, in the weeds with things, and I think it's
I like
really,
to understand every fiber of its being.
No, sometimes it's just, did you have a good time?
Yes. Check
is
mark.
Is it good gameplay, or are you sitting there ready to fucking rage quit because the camera's doing stupid shit?
No.
Or your character isn't responding fast enough when you're hitting a button?
No.
Does that happen?
No.
Did you enjoy the story of the characters?
Yeah.
Then it's a good game. Like, don't complain. I'm so tired of people complaining about, oh, I finished the game in under 10 hours, and the gameplay didn't really change from the last game to this game, and wow, it just feels like we're rehashing stuff that we did before, and, like, there's nothing new. Of course there's something new. There's several aspects of new. You've got all these assassins that are coming.
You have a new story.
You
have Christmas. Christmas in Gotham.
Okay, you have...
Ho, ho, ho.
You have a new story. You have new assassins that you're working with. So you have new baddies.
Against.
Yeah, but you have new baddies that you're going against that are going to come at you differently than who you played last time. Because really, in the last game, your major baddie was the Joker. Like, you had a mission where you had to deal with Dr. Freeze, but he wasn't really a big old bad baddie for you to deal with. It was just one mission. And the same thing with Clayface. No.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, and you now have dedicated assassins who are coming for that ass.
Yep, they come for you back.
It's a completely different mechanic than you going after and searching out these guys. They're
what they're trying to do is, so you've got these 8 assassins who are coming for you, because it's only a one-night bounty, so they're all coming for you now.
Right.
And while that chaos is going on, which is the big thing with the Dark Mask guy, that we've got 2 other villains, which I know one is the Joker. I don't know who the other one is yet.
Edward Nygma, though.
Well, I mean, he's messing around with you, but I already know that I'm about to do something with the Penguin, too, because the Penguin's involved also.
Oh,
but you got these other villains
who are doing
these other nefarious things while the hit has been, like, you know, summoned.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of take a lot of, like, offense to everyone's like, oh, it's no different, and it's really just more of the same, and it's really just a successor.
I mean, Alfred looks younger. I don't know if I like that. It's a prequel, you dumbass. He's supposed to.
Duh!
He's not Gandalf the Grey. He's not going to look the same no matter where he is until he dies. Then he gets whiter. Like, it doesn't work that way. No, it's too bad Alfred doesn't work that way. How awesome would that be?
Everlasting Alfred.
Oh, my God. Like, tuck ever Alfred.
Yeah, you see what I did there? I see what you did there.
Anyway.
I just don't want to acknowledge it.
Anyway. So, I mean, I'm having a great time with that. In the vein of comic books, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, because I did take some time to watch the trailer for the X-Men Days of Futures Past.
There we go! That's my girl!
High for me!
And, she's been struggling with that all day.
I'm like,
Future Days of... No. Wait.
Girlfriends of X-Men's
Shit.
Render? No.
Wait. No. Fuck!
Storm is awesome? Yes. But
Storm
that's not,
is awesome. Yes.
But I did take a peek at that trailer, which is pretty much, we're going to collide the X-Men of old to the X-Men of First Class, which is, I guess, yeah, I feel like that's what we're doing, sort of. Xavier's all like, I need to send Wolverine because Always gotta be fucking Wolverine, right? Like, it's got, it just has to be.
His adamantium allows him to survive.
As I'm watching the trailer, I'm like, great. I'm like, he's gonna send Wolverine. Because he has to. Because no one else has the capabilities of fixing shit.
Well, are you gonna send Gambit back?
No.
Here's the thing. And don't get me wrong. Like, I agree with you. Well, I'm actually not a big Wolverine fan, generally. Like, I like him in the context of the X-Men, but I'm not, you know, there's some people that, I mean, a lot of people that are big deal Wolverine fans, and for me, it's like, I'm not that guy. But in fairness, the reason why it happens the way it does, and this is, you know, I mean, Days of Future Past is actually, I don't know, the movie is surely is going to do its own thing, but there's a comic book, like an art, an X-Men, like a classic X-Men art called Days of Future Past, and Wolverine is at the crux of it as well. And the reason is because of his healing factor, he has unusually long life.
Yep.
And for that reason, it's like he's the only guy that is there in the past, the present, and the future.
Okay, so that's why he's being sent.
So that's why he's kind of at the center of the story, because it's like there's a version of him in all those times. Like when the X-Men that we know and love are kids, Wolverine's an adult already.
Okay.
And then during the present time, he's a part of the X-Men. And in the future, he's still like, he's not an old man and he's older, but he's still, you know, he's mobile and functional because he's Wolverine.
Right. Okay. So now that clarifies some stuff for those of us who are not deep in the lore.
Yeah. But to go back to your sentiment, though, I agree 100%. Only because I loved X-Men First Class.
I was a big fan of First Class.
You said you were not.
No, I was. I am. I loved the movie. I thought it set things up great. And then you go into regular X-Men, you're like, oh. And then the second movie happened.
Let's not talk about what they fucked up with Phoenix, okay?
Yeah.
No, but the thing is that up until First Class, every X-Men movie is Wolverine-centric.
Yeah.
And so it's like First Class was finally like, you know, a breath of fresh air where it's like, thank God we don't have to talk about Wolverine in this X-Men movie, because X-Men has so many amazing characters. Like, let's give them some screen time. Why not? And it's like, okay, finally,
it's not like the Wolverine show presented by Wolverine with the wonderful X-Men.
Well, and the one scene that he's in, you know, because the studio wanted Jackman in the movie as Wolverine, and he said, okay, I'll do it, but I'm only going to say one line, and what I want to be able to say is I want to tell Xavier to fuck off. So that's why that whole scene exists with Wolverine, where they meet him up in the... So he can tell them the car... fuck off, and they walk out. That was like his stipulation.
Because they were recruiting. He's like, fuck off.
Right.
That was Jackman's thing, because he didn't want it to be
the Wolverine show.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the beauty of First Class to me. So then, Wolverine just had his own movie.
Yeah,
again.
The Wolverine.
Right, and then for First Class, I mean, for Days of Future Past, but the First Class sequel... to be Wolverine centric again, I was just like, oh man.
I feel like we backstepped a little bit.
Singer screwing the pooch on that one, man. It's like, it's, you know, but that's just what I think based on what I've seen so far. You know, hopefully we'll go to the movie and it might end up being different.
And I mean,
but
even though he might be like the protagonist who takes us through the story, it might focus more on the story, not necessarily his role in
Since Future Past, what we really have to get to is it really is supposed to be
about
a story about Xavier.
Because he's got to go back and be like, hey, Xavier, we need you to care and believe in fairies. We need you to clap, Xavier. We need you to believe. That's what I got from the trailer. Because when John Lucas
Xavier is not Tinkerbell.
When Patrick Stewart is like, we need you, like, and he's talking to himself, I'm just like, I feel like he just has to be like, he just needs to clap. Like, it just took me to a different place.
So I'm hopeful for Days of Futures Past. Like, when I started thinking about the lineup of movies that's about to drop, like, the little comic book nerd in me started to squeak because we've got the Thor movie getting ready to drop.
Loki!
As the actress this week, that she's a Loki freak.
I love the whoobies.
I don't blame you.
I love villains who get beaten up in movies and then become redeemable.
You just like English villains. Let's not lie.
And heroes.
Yeah.
I just like British.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yay, British!
Pandalicious likes the British. But, you know, we've got Thor, we've got another Captain America movie dropping. They're already working on another Avengers movie because Robert Downey Jr. is like, yeah, of course I'm in Loki.
It's like, I'm literally Tony Stark, so I don't even know why.
He's like, no one else can be Tony
Stark.
Like,
I don't even know why you assumed I would say no.
I just want you to know that my whole life I've been Tony Stark.
Of
course.
And I don't even want to talk about how much you're going to pay me because we already know how much you're going to pay me.
And they're just
going to
give him money on the back end because they can't put up that cash up front. But you will have
He wants that 10 on signing, not in the back. Give it to a washed up because he's winning.
Damn, Panda.
Dropping some Nicki Minaj on it.
I had to stop for a second because you got, like, real authentic for
that
a moment.
That's not my flow, it's hers.
I know, but you got real authentic for a moment, and I stopped for a minute. It gave me
there
pause.
It is.
But I just started looking at the lineup, you know, and Futures Past dropping, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, there's a lot of, and I'm forgetting one. Shit.
Is it Sad?
Thank
yes.
you, Guardians. I knew there was another one I was forgetting.
Yeah. And Ben Diesel's going to be that giant sticky thing.
Yes. The giant sticky thing.
Sorry.
It's right. Vin Diesel is a dildo. You're right.
He's a giant sticky thing.
It's going to be great. It's a great time for comic book moviegoers. Hopefully, all these movies will maintain the level of quality that's been kind of set in these past few years. I mean, I will say this: it's even though I can honestly say I'm a lot more interested in Thor. The Thor sequel coming up that I was the first Thor.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't. I don't hear a lot of buzz for it. Like, I've heard more people talking about the Captain America trailer than I have for Thor that's actually coming out next week.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised by that because it seems like the marketing push has kind of died down for Thor in the last week, which surprised me.
Yeah.
Like, into the movie. But the same thing happened with Ender's Game. Like, they pushed Ender's Game real hard all summer, and then, like, for the last 2 weeks, I heard nothing.
I feel like the internet, everyone's really talking about, like, quietly.
I fucking forgot that Ender's Game came out this weekend. Because
no one was talking about it. I can honestly say, I feel like, I think the Ender's Game people did a good job, because you're right, the hard push was definitely in the summer, but I feel like there was a kind of tapering off of the marketing just in time for it to just come out. And the thing is, it's interesting because, you know, it's one of those things where I guess you could say, you know, go with the no press is bad press adage, because it's been on a lot of people's minds, because, or at least that I've been around in my circles, just because they're like, we want to go see it, but then, you know, we don't want to necessarily support
so
I know some people that are, I mean, I've heard everything. Some people are going to wait till the weekend's over, and like, so they're not part of that initial box office froze.
And then go and see it like after the initial, yeah.
Right. I know some people that are like, I'm going to go buy a ticket to something else and then go see Ender's Game. You know, because they don't.
I want to see it, but I don't want to give the industry my money.
Right. Because they don't want to.
Go on bargain night and go see that Sam would go see that horrible rom-com movie. And just sneak in there real quick and see what the deal is.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, whether for better or worse, I think Orson Scott Card has kept that movie on everyone's mind with his comments or his continuous comments about, you know, marriage equality and all that kind of stuff, so.
It's
crazy. I want to go see it. I haven't done so yet, but I will.
Yeah, I'm planning to see it. I want to because I read all of them. Yeah. I read all of those books.
I only read the first book.
Well, I mean, because the school was like, you have to read the first one, like Animal Farm. So, like, when I read it, I was like, dude, that's actually really cool. And then I went and I bought all the other books. Like, me and my group of my ride or die girls, we all read them. And
I love Hannah. Like, all my ride or die bitches, we were like, get these books. Like,
man, we go read. Like, that's what we did. And we read them all. So, like, and I was out with them a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, guys, you guys, are we going to go see that? And they're just like, I'm kind of worried. And I'm like, I understand what your worry is. But at the same time, they might get the stuff that we really enjoyed from the book. They might get that right. They could get that right.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, like, from the trailers, they're trying to set up Peter with Petra. Oh, God. Why would you even bring that up?
Sand.
Anyway. I mean, like from the trailer of Ender's Game, I was a little worried because they're kind of setting it up for Petra and Ender to kind of get together, and they don't in the story. Like, they don't really. He doesn't even get he doesn't even understand the concept that he has a penis until, like, the third book. So, like, this tension, it can't happen. There's too much shit going on. Brainwashing is going on. Spoiler alert if you've never actually read the book. Read the book. And then think about maybe seeing the movie. But then read all the books before you do that.
See, I think you should do it the opposite. I think you should go see the movie
and then read the books.
Yeah, because I know I did that for Jurassic Park, and it infinitely made Jurassic Park back in the day so much more enjoyable having watched the movie and then you read the book after. Because if I read that beforehand, I would be that movie like, where's my other T-Rex? I'd be like, where's the aviary? Where's the raft scene? And it would be like, I would have not enjoyed it as much.
So, take the advice. See the movie and then read the books.
It's always best to read the books.
And also, if you're going to get the books, because, you know, we don't also want to support this man because of his statements, go find a used one at the library that they've just been using as a doorstop.
Have him go to the library, just because going to the library makes you less douchey.
And don't bring your fucking iPad to a library and read your e-books. Don't do it.
Don't be a hypocrite.
You are such an asshole if you do that, people.
Read the real books at the library.
Like, just touch a book. Every once in a while, like, because I work in a school system.
Every
day I walk into a classroom and I just touch a book. Because no one else touches the books. I do yoga in the library on Fridays and I just go to a random section and I'm like, hello, books.
Downward facing dog.
Yep. Reaching my chakra. Oh, hi. Oh, hi, poster. Sure, I'll read. But anyway.
Oh, my God. I worry about you sometimes, Panda.
Yeah.
But
from the trailer of X-Men, going back to that really quickly, I will see it, and I think I will see that in theaters. I do not think I will see it on release, the first day, weekend release. I don't think I'll do that. Like, I might go during the week because, you know, being part of the teachers union, I can go for free during the week, which is kind of awesome. So I might just do that because it's for free. And yeah,
Panda likes free.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't like free? Even the richest of the rich are like, you know what? If I would have to spend my money, I really would like to not spend
my money. I'm the same way. I probably will not see Days of Futures Past opening weekend. I'll probably see it the week after, just because I'm not in, like, that much of a hurry to see it. I haven't really been in, like, a hurry to see a movie in a theater for a while.
Catching Fire. I want to see the fuck out of Catching Fire.
Catching Fire, I will probably see opening.
And it's funny, because I thought, like, in the South, when you say Catching Fire, you're telling people to go to hell. So the second book of this is, like, telling Katniss to go
to
hell.
Did you not read the book?
No!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't read The Hunger Games.
Oh, my God.
Or Catching Fire, or whatever the last one's called. Does it have a name?
Don't like to spend money, comma.
The last book actually has no name.
It's just a book.
It's a totally blank cover. You have to stumble upon it by accident.
You gotta know somebody to know somebody to point you to the right place. One.
Sometimes it has the 50 Shades of Grey cover art on it, but it's not really the 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow. All right. So I need to fix that for you. Yeah, I need to read the books.
Can you put them on my iPad mini so I can read them via an e-reader?
That's not a book.
I just said touch books here. I'm like, can you put it on
my e-reader? Put it on my e-reader, though?
It's not just a book. Easier.
Yeah, no, I've read them. I have digital copies of them.
Okay. Wonderful.
So yeah, Catching Fire, I will probably go and see.
I will see that on theater.
I did not see the Wolverine movie. I basically decided that I was going to wait till it came on HBO before I saw that.
Oh, that's a good call.
You know,
it's fun because I actually have not seen, like, there's only two comic book movies that really came out that are like hardcore comic book movies that I haven't seen in the last like few years. One was the sequel to Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Because
they made a sequel to that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, they made a sequel to it.
Nick Cage is
coming on. But the first one, I was like, I found it so terrible that I was like, I'm not going to go watch that joint. I bumped that. Even though people keep telling me the second one is better than the first one, but I don't know.
Because it had more cowbell in it.
Right, exactly. And then the other one is actually the Amazing Spider-Man movie, which was the remake, the reboot.
Oh, is that the one with Emma Stone in it?
Probably.
Yes, I would say.
With the Spanish guy from the Social Network as Spider-Man. Did they dial him back younger in the newer
one? I don't know. I didn't see it.
I paid
no attention to it.
Not the one that has Mary Jane. It's the other bitch that Spider-Man gets with, right? Gwen Stacy. Yeah, Gwen Stacy. That one. Emma Stone played Gwen Stacy. There we go. Right. Yeah. So that movie.
I haven't seen that movie either, but I'm going to have to go see it because I think I want to watch the sequel, even though I know it's going to be bad. Like, Jamie Foxx as Electro is a bad pick. It's possibly one of the worst castings.
Yeah, all right, so let's talk about that real quick for a hot second, and then I'll stop.
That gave me a bad taste in my mouth.
I know, you're making that, like, nasty, like, I think I just pooped myself face. Yeah.
I didn't, though.
You didn't, and I'm so glad, but... So, I love Jamie Foxx. I have to say that.
Oh, my God.
Jango
and Chain, he was the balls. No pun intended.
Ray Charles doesn't make a good Spider-Man.
I love me some Jamie Foxx. I think that he is just one talented motherfucker. And I support his career and him making money.
And his penis.
Absolutely. However... When he made the announcement, because I found out about it on his Facebook, because I follow him on Facebook, because it's Jamie Foxx, and I wouldn't.
Like, who wouldn't follow Jamie Foxx?
That's what I'm saying.
Facebook.
I also follow Ludacris, because anyway, that's how I found out about the Fast and Furious 7 movie, because Luda's always talking about and taking photos of it. Yes,
man,
yes.
Another one!
Yes. Until they stop making money, and guess what? Sexy, fast cars?
I'm sorry.
Not gonna stop
I'm sorry.
Making money.
The premise has not changed since the first movie. Fast cars, racing, and sometimes Japanese people.
Yep. Again, win, win, win. All they do is win.
I'm just like, I don't get it.
Okay.
How are the cops not on these, like, six, possibly five people?
Because sometimes they work with the cops. Okay, the last two movies, they've been working with The Rock to take down other bad kids.
It hurts my soul.
No, it doesn't. Just watch the movie. Pop popcorn, drink a drink, and be like, fuck yeah.
The only one I watched was Tokyo Drift.
Well, that's why you fucked up. Don't watch Tokyo Drift.
I liked Tokyo Drift.
Watch the other ones.
Like, somebody explained it really well to me where they're like, you know, you have to look at Fast and the Furious as like it's automobile sci-fi.
It is.
Like, look at it like that, and then it changes your whole perspective on the movie, where you're just like, you know, you can just sit back and enjoy it. Like, you take it for what it is.
Okay.
But
nobody tunes their cars like that.
I've only seen like two of them, and I know people. I'm shocked that they've gotten to six.
Well, they're shooting seven now.
Yeah, I'm shocked they got that far, but I'm not America.
Because I mean, eventually, you know, Paul Walker has to be like, you know what? I think I've had enough.
No. What the fuck else is Paul Walker doing?
True.
Nothing.
True.
Look, counting money.
Okay. Counting money going,
still,
all right, so
still
what
still get residuals from that.
All right. What the fuck Tyrese doing? He ain't making albums.
Hit with the $100 bill like, oh,
modeling.
I'm a loser.
No, Tyrese ain't modeling anymore. He retired. You know what? He gets paid more to do Fast and Furious movies.
But he never has any good lines in any of these movies. Very much like Common.
And you know what? He walks all the way to the bank, smiling with the big ass teeth he's got. Check.
Like, come on, Common. Smoking Aces. And then Smoking Aces 2. Really? And then
Hold on. Common doesn't make good movie choices.
Never.
Okay?
Wanted, and I wanted to like... I wanted to like him in Wanted. I did. I wanted to like Wanted,
because I love the graphic novel.
But they didn't.
It is a fucking movie.
That's
all right, all right. Anyway, I said I was going to end really quickly. So my thing was, I love Jamie Foxx. But as soon as he put out the thing, I got great news, I'm going to be Electro. I thought he was fucking joking.
I was like, ah, Jamie Foxx, you're so
like,
funny.
Seriously, I was getting ready to get on the comment like, ha ha, you got jokes. And I looked at the comment feed, and I was like, oh, shit, they're serious. I looked at Harry Knowles' Twitter feed, and he just basically was, like, shaking my head. I was like, oh, my God, it's real. It's real. Really? I was like, nope. Yeah. America, you kind of let me down on that one. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I feel like they're really going to cast Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm in this Human Torch remake.
Oh,
I mean,
no. No. Please, God, no.
I think that that's going to happen. I don't know it, but it's looking like it. Like I don't hear them talk about anybody else for the role. And it's one of those things where I don't get it. Like, in the first Fantastic Four, I was like, the one time in freaking American history where you're like, you know who would be perfect for this role? Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white chick. Perfect. They don't cast a blonde hair, blue eye, white chick. The one time.
Yep.
You know,
like, yeah, that is blonde. True.
Yeah.
They put Alba.
Blonde,
yeah.
Blue,
white, and they made her blonde.
Look, blonde hair, blue eye, white people get cast as Egyptian.
Yep.
They get cast as all types of stuff. Like, just just get whatever they want.
Except for blonde white people. They don't get cast as themselves.
Yeah.
Well,
evidently, blonde white people can't be blonde. You need a brunette to really be a blonde.
No, get a redhead and make her blonde, because we have to get rid of those gingers. I mean, Emma Stone uses her hair like every week. I don't even know what her original color was anymore.
I don't even know if she was originally a ginger.
I don't think so. I think she was a brunette.
I think she was a brunette originally.
But whatever. I mean, I can sit here and theorize that for the end of days, but I'm not going to.
We're not going to. But yeah, no, I'm with you on the same. I'm on the same wavelength, because I think that probably the biggest misstep in the comic book to movie history was Fantastic Four. And I still think that probably one of the best, I think, transitions of like a graphic novel to a movie, probably for me, is still Kill Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that that's probably one of the few that was, like, truest to as gritty and
down and
dirty. I mean,
R.I.P.D. was pretty close to its original source, R.I.P.D.
R.I.P.D. was.
But there was no marketing for that.
There was no marketing. It was a really, 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 really small piece of the comic community that even knew about R.I.P.D.
Yeah.
So it had like no chance whatsoever
to make a splash.
Be successful. Like, I read it, and when they were like Jeff Daniels, I was like, hell yes! I was like, this is gonna be awesome.
You mean Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, Jeff Bridges, I'm sorry. And it was one of the few times where I was like, when they cast Ryan Reynolds, that I was like, he's perfect. Ryan Reynolds is actually perfect for this role, because he was ass for Green Lantern. But he was perfect for this role.
And they wanted to make him Deadpool, too, technically.
I know. And I'm so glad that also
didn't happen.
Well, no. But he would make a much better Deadpool, which we've actually seen him as Deadpool already.
Yes. Yes. And then all of a sudden, Green Lantern came out, and everyone was all like, what just happened?
Like,
right.
He's not Deadpool.
He's a much better Deadpool than he is Hal Jordan.
Yes.
Like, and it's partially the script. But it's part of him, too. Like, he's just not that guy. Like,
I don't buy him as being able to be selfless. I've seen him in too many movies.
Where it's all about him?
Yeah, that I don't buy
it. It's all about him.
Seriously, I don't buy it. But I do buy him.
But I mean, in R.I.P.D., it was still kind of about him, because he...
Yeah, and that's why he was perfect.
He was like, I'm dead, no!
Exactly. I want to go back to my wife, I want to have my life, it's me, and fuck all y'all, I'm gonna be
like an Asian guy.
And I love that, and me and 15 other people did.
I was there. I saw it.
You were one of the 15.
I was like, this is pretty neat, I like this.
Yep. Hey, what's up?
It was funny, because I didn't read R.I.P.D., so when we went to go see it, I'm like, I feel like I should understand why I like this.
Yep.
But I don't think I do yet.
Nope.
And I didn't.
Nope.
But I still paid and saw it and enjoyed it.
And they were like, yeah, graphic novel, you should read it. It's pretty good. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome. So, yeah. Well, Mayor, I gotta thank you for joining us today. It has been such an enjoyable nerd hour for us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. And we definitely need to do it again sooner than later.
We need to do it. Yeah. And we need to do it more often.
Yeah.
We
absolutely love that. So you can catch stuff that we're talking about on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where news and reviews will go. The podcast will be on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can listen to us in the iTunes music application by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting subscribe, the iOS podcast application, the Xbox store, and of course,
over at the VOG Network.
Because we're there, you can participate and listen, like, for instance, Panda's question of the week.
Which is the same question from last week because you guys just don't like talking to me.
And by not talking to her, she means she forgot to put out more than 2 messages.
Yeah, it's my fault.
To let you know what the question of the week was.
So I'm going to reiterate the question. It's going to stay up for another week. And
so that way you have a chance to know what the question is.
Because
that she
I want your
an answer to.
Because I want your help to make my iPad mini
awesome. What's the question of the week, Panda?
What is your favorite tablet / iOS game? Not just a functional app, because I got those. I want some fun games for my iPad mini.
Do you have a dollar amount that you want to know about?
No. Money's not an option.
That. Money's not an option.
Money's no option. I have a really good budget for this. if it's free, it's even better. But
it's betterer.
It's the bestest better.
Better.
Ever bettered best.
Sure. What she said. But if you're listening to us, you should also check out the other shows that are part of our network, like Tuesday with brand new episodes of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast that's held down by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, gone a little bit through a transition. It's
and now no borders, no race.
Which I think is probably the coolest thing that KBD has put together, so you want to make sure that you check it out. And if you want to do a little learning,
because I likes to learn,
you can submit a phrase or word that you would like to know how to say in Japanese, and he'll pick a couple and tell you how to do it, because he's got that resource.
Hashtag easy educations.
That's what's up. On Wednesdays, pumping fresh beats into your ears. I'm talking trap. I'm talking the latest in EDM. I'm talking just awesome fucking listening. Brand new episode of Geek Aggro, the podcast held down by our man, Juices Wild. Love, 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 love those episodes. They will definitely keep your week moving and grooving. On Thursdays, if you've got issues.
He's got issues.
The issues, guys. This is where you can call in and share your issues live with the issues, guys. And y'all can, you know, just talk it out.
Do you have a problem with Glee? No, neither does he.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
It's not really an issue.
No, you guys can just, you know, have a bro moment about that. So make sure that you're checking out all the shows that make up our network because they're pretty cool. Panda already told you what the question of the week is. So this is where I turn first to our guest and say, hey, Mayor, what shit you digging this week?
It's sad because I think the last time I was on ESH, I think I was talking about this then too. But XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
Actually, I do think that was what he was thinking.
I do
the
think
last
that's what you were
digging
the last time, though. Panda, what are you digging this week?
I am actually digging yoga this week.
Oh,
namaste.
Wow.
No, I've been doing a lot more yoga lately, and I have been feeling my range of motion becoming better, and I'm feeling more healthy. So, yeah, I know, it's stupid and it's lame, but whatever, I'm digging it. You can't take it away from me. What about you? Don't even give me the judgment face.
I wasn't giving judgment face.
What are you digging this week?
I'm digging the Angry Orchard hard cider.
You are always digging beer and or cider of some kind.
Shut up, I like beer.
And ciders and stuff.
And ciders and stuff. But no, I really like the Angry Orchard hard cider, and you know, not
it does smell nice.
It is. It's a very nice crisp cider, and it makes fantastic snake bites.
And we're totally not endorsed by Angry Orchard.
We're not. If they want to endorse us, I'm all fucking for it. But until then, I'll continue to buy my own, and I'm fucking digging it, which is why I need to buy some more because I've already finished this sister. So, as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
I get to be Mary Young.
And we will see you guys next week.
And up next is Anime Jam Session.